The debut recording of a young Lebanese violinist spans a world both ancient and modern, as well as Western and Eastern. 26-year-old Claude Chaloub plays a Stradivarius. In the 1980s, he was a student at the Lebanese Conservatory when war forced it to close. Chaloub was awarded a scholarship to study in London. There, he immersed himself in classical studies, but began to absorb the cosmopolitan sounds around him. He eventually discovered his own voice in the tones and inflections of his homeland. His new CD on Teldec Records is called, simply, Claude Chaloub, and he spoke to us from our London bureau.
I tried a lot to make this CD as personal as possible. You know, it's me who's playing, it's me who's composing. Even the pieces that like Eric Satie that I've taken, it's just because I love so much this piece. So I try to do it my way as well.
Let's talk a little bit about the Eric Satie piece that you have on this, Nocien. What attracted you to it?
It's such an amazing piece because it's very close to our music. I meant by that, like the Arabic music by that. It's very much like modal music. What I like a lot, it's the atmosphere in this music.
Satie himself was inspired by these modal scales.
Absolutely. But what amazed me the most is like another composer from a different culture, from, you know, made me feel exactly the same. It has something so elegant, so inspiring, so beautiful to it.
It's a very direct sound that we hear. We're not hearing a lot of heavy production. Is that something that your producer, Michael Brook, brought out in you when he was... I mean, again, this is your first recording, so you're coming to it as an artist and you're working with someone who is going to help you enhance what you do in a studio. How did that process work in terms of the sound you were able to create here?
Michael Brook is really amazing. And his advice was, you know, to make everything clear and neat. You know, we use as less reverb as possible, even sometimes no reverb, to have this clarity and the real violin itself coming through with the real playing. The whole album is really has this character of intimate playing to it. So I tried to use only my capacity of playing more than actually the technology of the studio.
In Melancholia, it's an 11-minute track, and it's very spooky in places, kind of this ethereal feel to it. It's almost as if we can visualize you as a violinist walking through empty rooms. You're sort of wandering, the violin goes out and then it comes.
Absolutely. I had something in mind. I wanted to have it really raw and did not repeat the recording. In fact, it's one take. That's it. And it's very natural. It's about only improvising, but has this trip idea. I want to take you with me, you know, around the room, sometimes out of the room. Basically, it's a story, Melancholia. It's a long story, 11-minute story.
Mm-hmm. won a scholarship when you were 18 years old and you studied at the Royal College of Music. How were your ears opened up by going to London and studying? The city itself is such, I mean, not only what you would study academically, but what you would hear on the streets. Such a mix.
Well, certainly. I mean, I would never consider mixing with... I wouldn't have the opportunity to mix with Indian musicians, for instance, or learn this culture. London made it possible for me, so I can hear what other people are doing and hear their instrument, in particular Indian music.
Did you go to clubs and...
Of course.
Oh. Naturally, yeah. You were an 18-year-old student in London.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you be going to the clubs?
Absolutely.
Your tune, Don't Wake Me Up, I mean, that's the one that really seems to be a microphone on London. Also, the Spanish sort of influence that I was hearing there as well, that dance rhythmic element that seems to effortlessly do what we call crossover.
I come back always to the concept, my beautiful concept that I'm very proud of, the colors. This is something that I really love to talk about. This color thing is very important for me. You have to have the ears for it and keep searching because it's very much experimenting. I mean, you cannot get an improviser and tell him, for instance, play exactly like that. You have to leave the improviser to be free and improvise the way how or she feels about their ethnic music. Tracks like Don't Wake Me Up, it has so many different rhythms. It has the Bangara Indian rhythm, it has the Latin Spanish feel to it, and then also it has like no rhythm, only bass, the purely classical figure in it. And rhythm identify a lot of cultures.
I would be remiss if I did not ask about the cut Badur, and particularly the vocalist that you have on this recording. I'm going to ask you a similar question that I asked Joshua Bell, who is a violinist in this country, about the relationship between the violin and the human voice. Do you see a relationship there, and if so, what is it?
The violin is, for me, is completely connected to the human voice. In my culture, we totally imitate the human voice. We only improvise how possible for the human voice to sing. So we're trying actually to sing on the violin. So without the human voice, we can't do anything.
Tell us who's singing.
Farouk Fath Ali Khan is the brother of Nusrat.
His voice is absolutely extraordinary. But what is the spirit of what he's singing?
This track is written for the memory of my sister. My sister's name is Badur. She had a car accident. It's a sad story, but since you've asked, I'm going to tell you. The cultural aspect in the funerals in our country, somebody would go with a very bad microphone or kind of, and would start tell good things about the person who just died. I felt it so bad that I could never forget this kind of sound after we recorded. And I was telling the story to Farouk and he sang. We also added one more thing from India, is like this hoparlor, I don't know how you call it in English, like a wide microphone, then when you want to shout, usually you have to call
kind of a megaphone, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. And we put his sound through that machine, so it sounds really rough.
So this is the sound of mourning in many ways, of longing,
yes.
Of missing.
Absolutely.
I want to branch out a little bit. You were part of a group that was put together by Daniel Barenboim and Ed Said, Edward Said, and these were Arab and Jewish musicians who were playing together, and you were the concert master. I read also that many of the folks who were in this orchestra, young people, actually did not want to be identified because there would be problems if each admitted that they were making music with the other. What can you tell us, given these times that we're living in right now and the tension that is existing between all peoples on this planet, not the least of which are folks in the Middle East, what can we learn about ourselves through the music that is made?
Let me say one thing before I answer this question, actually.
Sure.
I am one of the people at this particular workshop who wanted to be identified, who wanted to say to the world, I want to play music with whoever. I love music and I love to share my music with everyone around the world. Music is for all situations, not only just to dance. Music is part of every moment in our life. And also it can connect us to a higher level, a spiritual level.
Perhaps it's helpful to remember that this orchestra was formed a while ago during a time of hope.
Hope is part of what we believe. It keeps us alive. It keeps us going through many things. And hope is a great thing. It's a great title for another track. Thank you.
Claude Chaloub, his debut CD is self-titled. It's on the Tel Deck label, and he joined us from our London bureau. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you very much.